This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York, and this is the Afternoon All Local.
Kamala Harris and Donald Trump on stage last night in Philadelphia, debate number one, maybe the only one. Let's talk about it. Political science professor Mark Jones, he's at Rice University. So the Harris camp, they wanted to keep those mics open to catch everything. That didn't happen. I guess they went to Plan B, setting traps. And Donald Trump obliged.
No, without question, the vice president baited Trump multiple times. It was pretty obvious to, I think, everyone watching. But time and time again, Trump fell for it. He ended up being very defensive, wasting time trying to praise his past, the size of his past rallies, things that he's done in the past, instead of trying to focus on things that Harris said that were perhaps not entirely accurate, or pressing her on in times where she did not answer the question. But Trump did very little of that. And so I think Harris was very effective in baiting and goading and getting under Donald Trump's very thin skin and distracting him during a large part of the debate.
You know, most of these debates, especially the TV ones, they come down to the optics of it all. How do you think both did as far as facial expressions and everything like that?
They're actually probably things were a little better for Trump if you didn't listen to what he was saying as much and looked at sort of the optics. At times, you know, I think there was a time where they were doing a split view of Kamala Harris when he was talking about his claims that it's a judicial witch hunt against him, where some of her sort of smiling or could be interpreted as sort of being that being part of it. So I think if in terms just in terms of the optics, it was a little more even. But it, in terms of what when they actually spoke, it was clearly Harris having the advantage.
It seemed as though Trump got louder and angrier as it went along.
No, and he lost his composure, where she maintained her composure for the most part. You know, to the extent to which we say people win or lose debates, this is a debate that Kamala Harris won. I think the question, though, is, you know, it's not really important if it was won in the eyes of the American public or even most voters. Who really matters are the approximately 5 to 10% of voters who are undecided about who to vote for in the presidential race or whether to turn out or not in 6 to 7 key battleground states, places like Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. It's that small segment. And until we get polls in over the course of the next week to 10 days, we really won't know if this debate moved the needle much at all. Normally, debates don't move the needle much, but we're dealing with an election that is so competitive and so close that even if it moves an infinitesimal fraction, that could be the difference between victory and defeat for one of these candidates.
You know, to me, they were in an impossible situation. But how do you think the moderators did for ABC News in this debate last night?
Oh, they were in an impossible situation, especially given Donald Trump's tendency to say things that are just outright false. And they called him on it a few times. The difficulty, and I think the error that they made, was while Trump clearly, on balance, was saying more false things than Harris was, there were a few instances where Harris effectively said she didn't say something in the past or said she hadn't supported an issue in the past, where there's reasonable evidence that she did. It sort of pales by comparison to some of Trump's statements, but they I think from an equity perspective, they probably would have been a little better off at least calling her on one of her misstatements.
So is there going to be a second debate? If you were either candidate, would you want one? Would it benefit you?
I think at this point, the campaigns will have to see what happens in the polls. I'm sure they're all spending quite a bit of money today polling, doing focus groups to really try to figure out what the impact of the debate was, if any. And it's that information that will, I think, guide whether they call for a debate or not. They may call for them, but then, they can always derail them based on criteria in terms of who runs the debate. I think Trump at this point would not agree to do a debate with one of the legacy media outlets anymore, especially after what essentially his camp's view that ABC's moderators were working against him. I don't know. I wouldn't know if I'd agree with that, but that's at least the case they're going to make. And I don't know if Harris is going to be willing to essentially go to someplace like Fox News and essentially defer to Trump in terms of who the moderators are. So it's more likely than not we won't see a debate. But I think a lot of that will determine on if Harris finds herself doing much better and believes that going to the debate she'll be able to lock it down. She's going to be more open to it. But if there's less of a positive push from these debates, both candidates may decide that they just want to go forward. But I think we will see continued jockeying around the potential for a debate for at least the next few weeks.
You mentioned how close this election is going to be. How big, or I guess, is it a big deal? The endorsement now coming for Vice President Kamala Harris from Taylor Swift.
Well, a celebrity endorsements often, I think, and actually almost always are overrated. But in an election that is extremely close, if that helps persuade an extra 10 or 20,000 people in a state like Pennsylvania or Arizona or Georgia to vote for Harris when they would have either not turned out to vote or might have voted for Trump, that could be the difference. So it definitely doesn't hurt having Taylor Swift's endorsement. I think the pros certainly outweigh the cons.
Mark, thanks so much. We appreciate the time. Political science professor Mark Jones with us. Well, today marks the 23rd anniversary of a day that still brings back a flood of emotions, certainly for those who were there when it happened, but really for every American. September 11th of 2001, that a terrorist hijacked 4 commercial jetliners and crashed them all, killing close to 3,000 people in the process, and who knows how many more who have succumbed to injuries and illnesses in the years since. One of those planes went down in a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Another one hit the Pentagon. By far, the most horrifying memories are of the two planes that hit and destroyed the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers in Manhattan. It caused them to collapse. So let's go back to that day and listen to this as it happened on WCBS Radio in New York City. At 8:48 a.m., they tossed it to their traffic reporter, Tom Kaminsky, who couldn't believe what he was seeing.
Tom Kaminsky, Chopper 880.
All right, Pat, we are just currently getting a look at the World Trade Center. We have something that has happened here at the World Trade Center. We noticed flame and an awful lot of smoke from one of the towers of the World Trade Center. We are just coming up on this scene. This is easily 3/4 of the way up. Whatever has occurred has just occurred within minutes, and we are trying to determine exactly what that is, but currently we have a lot of smoke at the top of the towers of the World Trade Center. We will keep you posted.
Tom, we just saw that smoke go up at about the same time you did. It was like one huge puff.
That's exactly what we had seen. We had seen we had turned around. Jeff, we were at the George Washington Bridge. We had seen a fireball, and I can tell you it appears as though something has gone into the World Trade Center. I'm looking at the north side of what is the North Tower, so I would guess that's Tower Number 1. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is about 3/4 of the way up, maybe even 3/4 of the way up Tower 1. There is smoke now billowing out of the top of the World Trade Center. I'm looking at what appears to be broken windows. I want to say that this is about 10 stories down from the top, maybe a little bit more than that. But there now appears to be smoke pouring out of the gash of the north side of the World Trade Center. My heavens, this has just happened within several minutes.
Tom, stay with us for a minute, will you? We want to talk to WCBS producer Kelly Edwards on the ground. Of course, you can see the fire. Where are you?
I'm just about 15 blocks north of the World Trade Center right now on 7th Avenue. Fire trucks are screaming down 7th Avenue trying to get to this fire. It looks like the fire is about 10 stories from the top of the building. Flames are shooting out. Smoke is pouring out. This gash goes from one side of the building practically all the way to the other. You can see thick black smoke pouring out of the front of the building, the north side. I can also see it coming out of the west side.
People are checking in from all over, from the Village penthouse. I'm not sure exactly where that is, but we'll find out. Carl Tendler is joining us. Where are you located?
I'm near Washington Square Park. I live in a penthouse which faces directly the Two World Trade Center building.
Were you looking outside when this happened?
I heard noise overhead, and I got up to see what it was. It was a low-flying aircraft. It was about 150, 200 feet off my penthouse. He was flying straight ahead, and he pulled up a little bit and went into the just hip of the side of the World Trade Center. There was a huge flash. The aircraft looked like he was a DC-3. He was aluminum, no markings, aluminum, and he just flew right into the building. I still can't believe it.
And they had that same guy on the air 15 minutes later when the second building was hit.
It's been another one, Carl.
Yes, he hit in building number one.
The other building.
Yes, he flew right into it.
Describe exactly what you just saw,
yes,
please.
Yes, I saw this jet coming towards the building. He was low. He was about halfway up. And he flew into, it looked like the south side, east corner of the building. So building number two is now burning.
So that's now either one plane or two planes flying into each building.
One aircraft that just hit the south corner. It looked like a twin-engine jet.
Okay, it's
both
been about
buildings.
20 minutes since the first explosion, the first plane flew into the North Tower.
Jeff,
Tom.
We have gone to the north side of the World Trade Center, so we were shielded from that. But just moments prior to that, we were getting a look at Tower number one. That was unaffected. But as we were looking back, we did see a second explosion of some type in Tower number one. So both of the towers of the World Trade Center are now affected. This has this second explosion has just happened. We're still looking at debris still raining down.
At this point, there is no question that America was under attack. And the call went out.
WCBS 880, right here, right now.
You know, we use that sound to get your attention. Right now, we need the attention of every firefighter in New York City.
The New York City Fire Department is issuing a total recall. All hands on deck, so to speak. They need all the help they can get. They need everyone to report. That is from the New York City Fire Department. Obviously, we are on full terrorism alert in New York City. President Bush has mentioned this as a possible terrorist act. We have people on the ground telling us they have terror in the streets in Lower Manhattan, people panicking, people crying. One witness has told us he saw a couple of bodies actually fall out of one of the buildings.
And the fires raged on until 40 minutes after the first tower was hit. And that's when it collapsed.
This is as close as we can get to the base of the World Trade Center. You can see the firemen assembled here, the police officers, FBI agents, and you can see the two towers. A huge explosion now, raining debris on all of us. We better get out of the way!
That reporter and hundreds of other people had to race away from the towers, running down the middle of the street, and you can hear him urging his photographer to run faster.
Come on, Glenn. Come on, Glenn. You can do it, Glenn.
The guy had a camera on his shoulder.
Those things are heavy.
And he was rolling the whole time. And then 31 minutes later, it happened all over again.
Right. Oh, my God, there it goes!
And the second tower collapsed 23 years ago today. And this morning, Americans across the country are remembering at Ground Zero in New York City. The annual memorial service President Biden there, Vice President Harris, Donald Trump there as well. And they read the names.
Lawrence Christopher Abell.
Alana Abraham.
William F. Abrahamson.
Richard Anthony.
Something interesting I read in the Washington Post this morning. One-third, more than a third of all Americans are now too young to remember 9/11.
And that's what it's crazy. And what's, you know, you talked about the unity that people felt after that. And now 23 years later, we're hearing all these conspiracies about 9/11 and who did it and who was responsible. And we don't know if we'll ever be able to get back to that unity again.
The inside job. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
The unity, that's the September 12th thing. But if we could, you don't want something this horrible to happen. But we were together at least for a while.
And it was nice to see at least former President Trump, Vice President Harris, after that contentious debate last night.
Yeah.
They did shake hands today at the 9/11 memorial.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Dallas City Council makes some changes to slow down people on a couple of dangerous roads.
First, the Dallas City Council voted to lower the speed limit on part of 75 from Mockingbird Lane to Woodall Rogers Freeway. It'll go from 70 to 65 miles per hour. Secondly, they voted to decrease speed limits on several parts of Loop 12. Councilman Jaime Resendez says Loop 12 has seen 15 deaths along that stretch this year alone.
Lowering speed limits, however, is by no means a cure-all, but it's a meaningful step toward making these roads safer for everyone, whether they're walking, driving, or biking.
The speed limits will vary along Loop 12 based on location. The council is also hoping that better lighting, design, crosswalks, and enforcement will make these roads safer. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin York, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
An alternative route for the Dallas to Fort Worth high-speed rail is moving ahead after new funding for engineering and environmental studies. Dallas Morning News reports that the North Central Texas Council of Governments has set aside $1.6 million to explore a western route around downtown Dallas. The planners had to end the original plan because it would interfere with a $3 billion convention center project. The high-speed rail could serve 30,000 passengers daily, cutting the travel time between Dallas and Fort Worth in half, and could eventually connect a planned Dallas to Houston bullet train.
From the rails to the sky, Southwest Airlines brings in all of its pilots for more training.
Beginning this November, all pilots will participate in one-day courses designed to improve crew communication and risk management. The FAA launched an audit in July after several incidents, including one flight that dipped dangerously close to the ocean off the coast of Hawaii. Southwest says it's actively working on enhancing safety protocols in cooperation with regulators and union officials. From the 24-Hour News Center, John Little, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
A former employee at the Flower Mound Private School has been indicted for three felonies that have to do with a middle school student.
39-year-old Marcus Goodwin of Corinth is accused of an improper relationship between an educator and a student, online solicitation of a minor, and sexual performance by a minor. The student is from Trophy Club and went to school in Flower Mound. Captain Bobby Tillman of Trophy Club Police says there were two incidents that involved an online device discovered by parents. He says parents need to communicate with their kids.
Not just talk to them, because sometimes kids won't be honest about what they're doing. You have to really
in addition to talking to them, observe what they're doing with their devices.
He says Goodwin was not an educator, but held a position at the school. From the 24-hour News Center, LP Phillips News Radio, 1080 KRLD.
Massive 9/11 remembrance event at the DFW National Cemetery.
They call today 9/11 Patriot Day as a fulfilling way to observe such a dark moment in our country's history. Now, the morning started with a 9/11 remembrance ceremony, and then volunteers got right to work around 10 a.m., carefully scrubbing each headstone by hand with soap and water and making sure that no detail to beautify the cemetery goes unnoticed. Organizers tell me as time goes on, there are more younger generations who did not experience or remember 9/11, but they can be taught the significance of this day.
To educate, I think, the younger generation. More importantly, I think having events like this is, it's really for honoring the memory of those that made sacrifices, our military, our first responders, and honoring their sacrifices and their memory.
That's Alana Quinlan, reporting from NBC5 in Ellis County. Sheriff's Department says teenager found his parents' bodies in their home today. Grandmother lives nearby. She called 911 after he went to their home in Midlothian and told her he found his parents dead. Deputies went there, saw them both shot to death. They're investigating this as a possible murder-suicide.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.